Chapter 11. Spock had had a headache since midsummer. It was a persistent, terrible thing that occasionally manifested as a ringing in his ears, but whenever he focused on it, it vanished. It was obnoxious and made it all the more difficult to deal with his peers. There were sneers and taunts, the likes of which he had not experienced since early childhood. It seemed as though all of Vulcan had seen him with Jim, displaying affection, and were set on punishing him for it. It was all of the sins of his parents being revisited on him, but he was not a small child anymore, committed to them or their way of life. His classmates had moved on from their methodical harassment and were now blithely cruel. Spock had learned to be cruel while hiding from an abusive step-parent. This was literally child's play for him. "I do not think you said it with sufficient venom," T'Pring observed, after Spock had advised their chemistry professor to live long and prosper. "One cannot lie in the imperative tense," Spock pointed out. T'Pring looked up at him and shook her head. "Staun is in the labs. Unsupervised? I have decided that he is not my responsibility," T'Pring said. "And neither is the welfare of everyone else." Spock thought if he had been friendless on Vulcan, things would have been much different. Perhaps he would have tried harder to fit in, would have considered more seriously applying to the VSA. Now, though, he could not imagine doing so. Starfleet Academy did its acceptance interviews the year before attendance in order to ensure all students who would like to apply had the opportunity to do so. Spock had his material submitted with recommendations from professors and Captain Pike prior to Jim's visit, and in late July they had called him for an interview. He was scheduled to go on his mid-semester break. He had to perform to the highest standards this semester. He had to do so in spite of everyone, and so he had no time to dwell on Jim. Jim had. There had been a few messages, stupid little things as though nothing had changed, when clearly everything had, and Spock had not known how to respond, and then it had been far too late to respond, and now the silence was deafening. "Excuse me," T'Pring murmured, looking down at her pad. Spock saw the name Kirk and blinked at her. "You still speak?" he asked, and she looked up from her tablet, fingers pausing over the controls. "Yes," she said. "Of me?" he asked. He felt sick, betrayed. "No," she said. She glanced at Staun, who was singed around the edges as he approached them, then at Spock. She lifted a curious eyebrow. "Should I be?" "No," Spock said quickly. "No, it was inappropriate of me to inquire. I apologize." "When is your interview at Starfleet?" Staun asked, showing remarkable tact. "In 2 weeks. I will leave after classes end and spend the remainder of the break in San Francisco. I have not seen Cybok or my father in quite some time. I believe my mother also intends that we will spend winter break there." T'Pring nodded. "Logical," she approved, and Staun's face did not move, but they all knew he was rolling his eyes. "The thing is," Cybok said, because in the absence of Jim, Spock had started speaking to his brother more regularly. Spock did not, in fact, like what it revealed about him, that only when Jim was gone did he look to his own brother for company. "They're going to be relieved to be rid of you." "Thank you, Cybok," Spock sighed. "I don't mean anything by it," Cybok protested. "They're really excited when they got rid of me." "So I should be comparatively flattered?" Spock asked, frowning. "It's just, the way I always thought of it was, why bother, you know? They don't want you, or they only want you on certain terms, and those terms are absolute bullshit, so why would you try to be less than just to please them?" It made a great deal of sense, and Spock clung to it, let it settle in his spine. When they sneered at him, commented on his poor breeding, he ignored them with lifted chin and impenetrable shields. He was meant for more than this. But sometimes, when it was quiet, he wondered if he was not, if he was meant to pursue a career at the VSA, if that was what Jim, who knew him best, had seen for him. The plan had always been to reunite at Starfleet, but Spock wondered now if that had only ever been his dream, not one shared between them. His fingers itched for his phone, would punch in Jim's number, hold down the speed dial, but he could. He aborted, always, before it rang through. It would be worse to know for certain, and in some ways, Spock was a coward. It was a relief when school broke and he packed for Earth. He was surprised to find he missed the planet. It did not feel any more home than Vulcan, but then it did not feel any less like home than Vulcan either. He was simply caught in between. He was learning to accept it, learning to accept that his path was his to forge. Cybok met him at the platform, took his bags and hugged him enthusiastically, kissing the top of Spock's head. "You're tall," he accused. "Like, really tall." I am thrilled beyond the telling that your eyesight remains functional, Spock told him, and Cybok threw back his head, laughing. Cybok, what is growing on your face? I like a beard now, Cybok said earnestly as they headed for their shuttle. His hair was long and curled messily around his head. The beard was scraggly, untrimmed, and unimpressive. Perhaps in 20 years he could grow a respectable beard. It is terrible, Spock said flatly. Shave it immediately. You're not the boss of me, Cybok told him, stroking his beard and pouting. Spock lifted an eyebrow. Yes, he said. I am. What are you going to do? Pinch me and shave me? Wait, Spock, don't actually do that, Cybok amended quickly while Spock gave him his best air. Ugh, little siblings are the worst, Cybok sighed. Earth was beautiful, young where Vulcan felt settled, diverse while Vulcan was homogeneous. He inhaled the scent of the sea as they departed docking, walking carefully to adjust to the gravity shift. On Earth he felt impossibly light. If he was human, he might try to find a metaphor in that. There was a car waiting, and Cybok stayed quiet for much of the ride. That he would stay silent for all of it was clearly too much to ask. So you two still aren't okay? He asked finally. What? Spock asked. You keep checking out anyone in a cadet's outfit, Cybok said gently, as though breaking terrible news. Is he even a cadet? Prep, Spock said shortly, sitting back in the seat and staring straight ahead. Cybok touched his knee gently. Still? He asked tentative, as though he thought Spock was going to yell at him. They were older now. Cybok might never like Jim, but Spock was nearly 18 and able to make his own choices. Cybok would always be his older brother, but they were on more even footing than they had ever been before. Cybok could not influence Spock's choices anymore. Not that he had ever been able to, not really. My interview is tomorrow, Spock said, swallowing carefully. What if I am not prepared? Yeah, that's hilarious, Cybok snorted. I am not joking. That's because you got Dad's sense of humor, Spock told him apologetically. Cybok, Spock snapped. Oh, there you are, Cybok was grinning, impossible and wide, and Spock blinked. What? It's weird. It's like you got more repressed. I have been reading on Kolinar, Spock admitted. Not as an ambition, you understand. Simply, it has been difficult. These past months have been difficult. What happened? He made it clear that he did not want me anymore. He thought my place was on Vulcan. Bull, Cybok said, opening the door as the cab pulled to a stop. He reached around to feed the meter, and then helped Spock out of the car and onto the sidewalk. No, Spock said softly, looking at the embassy and pushing open the gate. It felt strangely as though he was coming full circle. No, I do not think it is. Cybok did not call Spock a liar. He just muttered about stupid kids and their bullshit until Spock did, in fact, administer the pinch. Spock, welcome, Sarek said, his calm gaze drifting to Cybok, crumpled in the front hall. Ah, he said. It is always pleasing to have one's children so close to one, he observed. The interview was a 3-to-1 meeting with Starfleet professors. They asked him what languages he spoke, why he wanted to be a member of Starfleet. They wondered, did he understand what a commitment it would be? Would he tell them about Tarsus IV? Was he comfortable in a multi-ethnic setting? Did he have friends who weren't Vulcan? What did it mean to him to be such a strong touch telepath? Did he feel he would have sufficient control? They all knew him, knew his story, who his parents were. Everyone of a certain age knew Spock's story, gave him a second glance when they read his name or he introduced himself. He was gratified that they did not ask him about his parents, that they asked him about himself. What did he want? Where did he see himself? They gave him the coursework, said that due to the way Vulcan school systems worked, he would be heavy on the physical side of Starfleet coursework, less on the theoretical, generalized concepts. His advisor, they said, would help him to navigate all of that. You will likely finish your undergraduate studies in 3 years, Admiral Vakur told him. Whether you take up an active commission at that point or continue on in your coursework is up to you, but you'll be better informed to make that decision when we come up against it. They would consider everything, and he would have an answer in 3 weeks, they told him, and they conscientiously raised their hands in farewell, mindful of touch telepathy. He felt confident as he left, and it had been illuminating and vindicating. This, at least, was still a good choice. He was completely unprepared to see Jim. He wasn't doing anything, just sprawled out under a tree, reading. But it was Jim Kirk being quiet when there was no one around to manipulate, and Spock scarcely knew what to do with that. He stepped forward, off the path, thought to say something, anything, but the words would not come. And Jim was okay. Jim was okay, and that was all Spock had ever really wanted, and if Spock's absence was contributing to that, then he could hardly in good conscience stand in the way. He withdrew back to the path. "There you are," Sybok exclaimed, his voice too loud, and Spock closed his eyes against the headache. Delayed reaction to stress, no doubt. Sybok was eating some kind of frozen chocolate concoction. Excellent. He would be drunk in 5 minutes. "My Sunday brings all the hotties to the yard," Sybok told him seriously. It had the cadence of a quote, though Spock was not familiar with the source material. "How'd it go?" he asked, pulling Spock in by wrapping an arm around his shoulders. Sybok was impossibly tactile, but he was calming right now. "I will have a decision in 3 weeks," Spock said. "They're going to accept you," Sybok scoffed, as though to consider anything else was absurd. "We shall see," Spock allowed. His headache was worse than ever, perhaps the stress. He needed to go home, meditate, perhaps even sleep. As impossible as it was to consider that they would not let him in, it seemed equally impossible to think that they would let him in. It was too overwhelming to think about, so he put it out of his mind. It was illogical to worry, but not worrying was exhausting. "So," Sybok said as they left campus, "are we going to talk about the fact that your bond is killing you, or are you just ignoring it?" Spock paused, rubbing his temples. He gave it several seconds, but he did not understand. "What?" "Seriously," Spock demanded, reaching over and pressing his hand to Spock's cheek. His fingers were cool, and the ringing in Spock's ears dimmed almost to nothing. "How are you so bad at this?" "I am not Vulcan." "Fucking, okay, fine, look. You had a fucking bond with Jim Kirk forever, but it got, like, bondmate level when he came back from Tarsus. Mom and Dad pulled you away, hoping the distance would change it. Kinda hoped you'd fall in love with T'Pring, actually, though I did say it wasn't going to work." "No one said," Spock said, racking his memory. Sometimes Sybok had a point about their inherent repression in their culture. There was no open dialogue about how to recognize an unplanned bond, a telepathic link. If there had been, Spock might have known, might have recognized the signs and been able to stop it all before it got to this point. Could you break it for me?" "You... what?" Sybok demanded, taken aback. Spock sighed. "Not now," he clarified. "Right now I'm tired." He contemplated confronting their mother, but his father was closer and would have recognized more acutely what was happening. His mother had thought perhaps he was infatuated with Jim. His father must have known otherwise. Now his father looked at him and said, "It seems premature to request the breaking of a full bond at this juncture." "Elaborate." "You have been out of contact with Jim Kirk for 5 months. It would be logical for you to confront this issue and deal with it instead of asking for your brother to raise your mind." "Sybok is a doctor," Spock pointed out. "Spock, why did you not tell me? I was not raised on Vulcan, and you were responsible for educating me." "And I have failed you in that, yes. I thought you would realize on your own, and that if this sort of situation would arise, that you would stay true to the precedent and go find Jim Kirk," Sarek replied, and tilted his head. "Why have you not?" "He hurt my feelings," seemed like such an infantile response, for all its accuracy. "He made it clear he was finished with me, did not feel right either." "Perhaps you should think on it," Sarek said. "Take some time. Meditate." Spock went up to his old room. It had been so easy, all of it, it had. To everyone else it was so difficult. Their relationship had been so fraught, but it had not been the case. Spock had always known what to do. Jim had always given him a sign. But here he was, floundering in a room he had outgrown long ago, filled with shadows and memories. He did not meditate. He could not find the peace of mind. When the sun rose high in the sky again, he called for a cab and took it to Chris Pike's house, because if this was going to hurt, he wanted to have earned it. He wanted to understand. He pressed the doorbell. Chris Pike opened the door, blinked at Spock, and said, "He's still in bed." "I remember the way," Spock said. "Yeah," Pike agreed, exhaling. "Yeah, I'll just bet you do. Thing is, it's a school break, and he's not going to be up for another 3 hours, so you can park it and make yourself comfortable. I gotta go to work." Spock nodded, stepping inside and letting Pike pass him. "Oh, hey, Spock, whatever the hell it is you did, you break his heart and I'll come after your ass." Spock looked at him. "Yes, that seems fair." It was 0900. Spock sat on the couch, read the news, tidied a bit, and made lunch. At 1300, Jim wandered downstairs, scratching his stomach and yawning enormously. "You cooked?" he asked, scrunching up his face, and then he saw Spock, and the atmosphere became charged, tense. "Hello, Jim," Spock said. It was not as though Jim had been a constant presence in Spock's life. They had gone long bouts of not speaking, usually because of Jim, for whatever reason. And they had fought all the time as children. So this wasn't... This distance probably had a lot to do with how well they had been getting along. In the end, it was not an unfamiliar set of circumstances, but it had been. It had been a long time since Spock had felt like Jim was starting the argument without him. Worse, this time it was as though Jim had already had the argument, lived through the fallout, and moved on. Spock, he had forgotten the feeling of being a step behind. Forgotten that Jim could do that to him. When he had been 14, waiting for Jim to arrive after Tarsus IV, he had thought about Jim as T'Hyla. A year later, his father had intimated that he understood Spock felt that way about Jim, and all of the definitions of the word. Right now, standing in Captain Pike's kitchen, the pasta cooling in front of him, staring at Jim, who looked sleep-muzzled, but so sharp, Spock could not remember why that might have been. "Spock," Jim replied, folding his arms across his chest. "What are you doing?" Spock asked. "And do not refer to the fact that you were standing in the hall. I can see that." "Staring at a moron," Jim said, and Spock's head was throbbing now. He was so stupid not to have realized what that meant. "Interesting, as I do not see your mirror anywhere," he replied, which was wrong. Was not how he meant to start this, but he could not bite back the automatic response fast enough. "Did you come just to call me names?" Jim asked flatly. "Like, who even let you in?" "Captain Pike, as he was leaving for work," Spock said. "Fucking of course he did," Jim sighed. "Why are you on Earth?" "I had my interview at Starfleet on Monday." Jim did not look surprised. "It was inappropriate, what you did," Spock told him, "to interfere like that and then not explain at all." "I'm actually going to kill you," Jim said, almost conversational. He was so beautiful, Spock could not help but think. And Spock was so invested. "Okay, can I just point out, you're getting pissed because I went behind your back and arranged your life, right?" "That is, yes, the major point of the argument," Spock agreed, though there were nuances he felt Jim was ignoring. Jim stared at him, and then burst into a flurry of action, slamming his hands against the wall and laughing incredulously. "Are you fucking kidding me, Spock? I applied to a school for you. You fucking got me adopted." "You had no one. You would have." "Yeah, it turned out great, but you don't really get to be pissy with me about the one thing I did, because mine was, like, an option. You didn't have to go. And hey, you didn't. But you... I woke up and you had signed on the dotted line for me. So, you know, comparatively, if anyone is going to get pissed about the other person being an interfering shit dick, I win forever," Jim said, breathing hard. There was color high on his cheeks, and he was looking at the window just past Spock's shoulder. "You did not call," Spock pointed out. "Your phone broke? You gave me that. No, you did not even do me the courtesy of that. You simply left it for me to find once you had gone. What was I supposed to... Maybe not think I was fucking breaking up with you? Although, clearly you're okay with that, because, hey, here we are, and we're... We are fully bonded," Spock snapped at him. "It has ramifications for you, which I do not fully understand, and..." "No fucking shit," Jim snapped, throwing up his hands. "Really?" Spock stopped talking, startled into silence. "What? You didn't know?" Jim demanded. "Seriously. Seriously, you didn't know?" "I knew we were. T'Pring brought it to my attention, but it was weaker, the type which I maintain with my family. There was some speculation, but the other day Cybok said..." Jim groaned, scrubbing his face with his hands. "Spock, you are... You can't..." He broke off, shifted his posture. He looked older, more grown up somehow. It was as sudden as flicking a switch. "Do you not want to be?" he asked, level and calm, as though this wasn't the most extraordinarily absurd question Spock had ever heard in his life. And once someone had asked him if he had tear ducts. Spock could not find the words. One wrong word, and Jim would be gone. Of that he had no doubt. But the longer he stood here and searched for the perfect phrasing, the more he looked at it like he was trying to find a way to be kind and... "What do you want, Spock?" Jim asked. He sounded resigned, tired suddenly, like all the fight had been beaten out of him. Jim only ever sounded that way for Spock, he realized. "I want to know when you decided you were through with us," Spock said, and the laugh is like a physical blow. He had, Jim might have yelled. He had thought, or been stonily angry, but laughing was not something Spock felt he'd prepared for. "I didn't make that call. I put it in your hands, and you're the one who decided to be done." Spock stared at him, at the sad set of Jim's mouth, the way he was tucked into himself. And there was clearly something Spock had missed. He had not. He was, in fact, an idiot. He was an idiot, and Jim had gotten it before Spock. Spock needed Jim, wanted him, but it was possible none of it had translated in his head. They were just them, and Spock had been willing to follow them, however it manifested. He had kissed Jim, and Jim had escalated, because Jim always escalated, took the pressure off of Spock and kept them moving. And they had fit together so well that month, had woken up in the morning, and yes, sometimes they had fucked, but some mornings they had just stumbled into the kitchen to get breakfast, Spock bullying Jim into consuming more than tea while Jim complained at him. You were... It wasn't out, Spock realized. No shit, Jim snapped, fingers twitching against his thighs. It had been an out. Their time together last summer had been good, and Spock had relearned Jim, but it was more than that. He was meeting Jim for the first time. This Jim, a Jim who could charm Vulcans and hold his own against Spock's mother, and walk through a market without stealing anything. Jim had always had it in him to be this person, but here he was, grown into it, or at least realizing the potential of who he could be, and Jim had been asking if Spock wanted him. It had been Jim's way of asking if Spock could want a Jim Kirk who was centered, had things going for him, a Jim Kirk who did not require Spock's help, who had little need for his money, who might be able to jump before being told. You are so incredibly stupid, Spock managed finally. I'm stupid, Jim repeated, incredulous. You're the asshole who thought, I don't know what I was. I don't even know. Because you're stupid, Spock agreed. Because if you thought for a second that after all of this, after a decade and more of this, of time and money, and if you thought that I was going to let you go after you're finally okay. Only that was the wrong thing to say, because Jim's jaw clenched and he tilted his head slightly, eyes dangerous. So now that you've fixed me, you want me, but once I've repaid my debt... Jim. No, seriously, Spock, how does this play out? We have, like, 5 years of good times, like June, and then you get tired and find someone else who's really fucked up? Do the whole cycle over again? Make sure they're really indebted to you? Make sure they misjudge the entire situation? I cannot believe how infantile you are being right now, Spock snapped. If you think so little of me that I would... I am going to keep you. Yeah? Awesome. Everyone's dream. Stop it, Spock yelled, grabbing Jim's wrist as Jim stormed past him towards the door. He wanted to shake him, to hit him, but they were too old for that. He had come too far for it. I desire to keep you because I am in love with you and have been miserable these past months. Do you want a proposal? We can go to Las Vegas right now if that is what you want. Just, Jim, you have to tell me what you want. Jim's words were exquisite, thick and smooth without cracks. He was impenetrable, and Spock could not read him. Not at all. It hurt. All of it hurts. I am going to Starfleet as we planned, he said. I am right here, and in 6 months nothing is going to be able to move me. I am right here. Spock. Jim broke himself off, and he looked tired. Spock wanted to shield him, to protect him, but Spock had never been able to protect Jim from Spock himself. He had always wanted too much of him. Spock had lived all of Jim's trauma secondhand. He had found solace in the eye of the hurricane, taking advantage of the way Jim could keep everything at bay. I know you, he thought. I do not want to know who I am without you. You didn't call. Not a message. Nothing. A miscalculation. Did you say you'd marry me? Jim demanded, and Spock stared at him. That had been at least 5 minutes ago. You are only now... Shut up, Spock. Jim, why are you going to Starfleet? Because Captain Pike made many compelling arguments in its favor, Spock said. I believe it is important to see what is out there, and would be a stimulating experience. If you do this again, I'll fucking kill you, Jim warned him. On the condition you cease manipulating... Ha! Jim barked out, letting Spock pull him in by the wrist, link his forefingers through Jim's belt loops. Pot, kettle. Perhaps we can be better. Well, I mean, you can try, Jim mused, and leaned in to kiss Spock, no doubt to ensure he had the last word. There would, Spock knew, be more battles. Small ones about the fact that Spock had no plans to live in the dorms, and if Jim thought he was living anywhere but with Spock, he was insane. Jim was considering engineering. He would be a better fit in command. There would be bigger ones, too, about what tours to take, whether they could stand to be apart, whether they would take leave, if they could work together. But Spock would be damned if they ever wound up here again, strangers after 5 months of bitterness and resentment. He would not make that mistake again, though he doubted Jim would let him. I am going to keep you, he thought, and meant it in terrible ways. I have survived this, and that means I get to keep you. The end.